So, you're it, your honey, and you're macking out when the phone rings. Ooh, answer it, and the voice is...
What are you doing with my daughter?
Ooh, tell her girl, and she say...
My dad is dead.
Then who
was phone? Hello and welcome to The Spoops, the premier spot on the internet for failed horror of all types. And welcome to episode 10.
Woo! That is a new record. The last run we did made it to 9 and wasn't 10 like the we'll be back.
Yeah, no. Episode 10 was the we'll be back. You will see. You'll remember that you have to do creepy stories. It's in your blood.
So we are so happy to be back, so happy to be doing this, and so happy to have a real episode 10.
Going.
Exactly. We have a bunch of great plans, and the best way for you to keep up on all that is checking out our website, which is thespoopspod.com. So please feel free, go there. You can interact with the stories and interact with us through any medium, be it TikTok, be it YouTube, be it Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts. Please feel free to leave a like, comment, share. Let us know you're there.
TikTok fans aren't real fans.
And we're going to get chewed out for that online.
TikTok isn't real. It's a Chinese conspiracy.
So
TikTok's controlled by the Illuminati. And fake deer.
With episode 10, we figured we'd do something really special. Josh, you want to break it down for him?
Okay, so we've heckled people for their inability to write, but yet we have not presented ourselves for the heckling. Who are we that we judge others if we not present ourselves before the masses? So we bring before you three of our humble stories that we have crafted ourselves. Now, there are special rules to these stories. We didn't just craft them out of nothing. No, we had to take previous stories that we featured here on the podcast, and we had to take two of them, and we had to mix them together. So we are so excited to present these to you, and we're also all nervous because we haven't looked at these stories yet. So I'm personally terrified that Bradley and Steven are going to read my story, and then they're going to make me wear a dunce cap every time. This time going forward because I'm illiterate and dumb.
Hey, don't worry. Mine is written like, you know, a 15-year-old did it. So it's like 3 years above what a 12-year-old would do.
And I crammed mine at 2 o'clock in the morning in a 2-hour span. And I don't even remember half of what I wrote.
Well, Steven, since you're speaking so highly of yours, why don't you go ahead and kick us off? But before we do, I'm a little parched, so yeah. Tell us what we got today.
Yeah, you've got a medley of sips in front of you, of course.
Melody
of sips. So,
of the sips. Hello and welcome to my melody of sips. I'm me, Steven, and welcome to my garden of symphony of flavors. Before you will find your first concoction.
No, you got it. So, you'll see sitting front and center in the single can there, and it's actually in your mugs. If you had asked me 2 weeks ago what my favorite energy or otherwise drink
pick
was,
pick me, Ultra Gold.
Correct. 10 points. Nothing to you. I'm glad that I didn't buy anything until day of shoot because that is absolutely the bomb. It is like if you know the Stewart's ice cream shop, orange creamsicle in a bottle. It is that, but heavily caffeinated. And so it is my pleasure to present this to you. If you want to do a quick aerate and sniff, as is par for the show.
Oh, that smells so good.
That hits, doesn't it?
I sense a little bit of California inside the flavor. perhaps the again, dairy of Wisconsin. Yeah,
it's like this was a good year.
2023.
The line worker had a girlfriend this time.
Yes, it is so much better when they pull the oranges while they are still supple. You can taste the flowing juices inside of this one. And yes, this was taken from freshly milked cow.
The cream?
Yeah, precisely. It's actually, it's just
this
cow.
Is dope. This is so good. I've never drunk an energy drink before. That was like, put that in my mouth because I'm addicted to the flavor. I always do it because I'm addicted to the caffeine.
The effect,
That could make me switch energy drinks.
That's actually really good.
Well, it's not often that I drink something and it flavor shocks me out of drinking anything else. I can tell you I have not picked up another can of that or another can of anything else.
Now, Steven, I think it's important to mention why we have this menagerie and why they're all relatively good things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This segment, as y'all know and love it, is me just punishing my brothers-in-law because it's fun and they let me.
Because we were nice to you, because we let you onto the web, onto the podcast.
Yeah, and I decided to immediately and ferociously assert my dominance through sips. But the thing that we wanted to do today for the 10th episode was procure for you our favorite drinks, be they energy or otherwise. And all of them happen to be heavily caffeinated because clearly we all have a problem. But yeah, so that was my favorite, and there is yet more to come, my friends.
Well, Steven, since you shared your wonderful drink first, why don't we dig into your resignation letter?
Yes, of course.
Not from the spoofs. Let's be clear.
Oh, no. Let's be real. The only way we're letting people off this podcast is
in body bags.
We accept no resignations. Okay, so what
only
am I?
Only reservations. So, I'd like to present to you...
I noticed you guys put the cat as far away from me this time as physically possible.
There's a reason.
And we gave you another one for some reason.
It's moved closer to him as the shoots have gone on.
Yeah, it was way forward at the beginning there.
Mm-hmm. No, I did it so because you couldn't see the orange except inside of the reflection on the table. So, I was highlighting the fact that it is orange.
Smart.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Spoop.
So I'm assuming you're reading the small little quotation part
at the beginning.
Is there one at the beginning? No, it's like down a little bit, like right before click.
Yes. Right.
And then where am I reading at?
You'll be kicking in at Spare Me.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I did not leave any notes or any assistance for you. Okay. Well, it is my sincere pleasure to present to you a resignation letter.
Which is funny because it starts with, it's my sincere regret.
Actually, it starts off with, to whom it may concern.
Indeed. I love pedantic. Everything about pedantic gets my jimmies.
In a knot, in a twist, in a bind.
Happy.
Stop.
Happy
stop.
To whom it may concern, it is my sincere regret to inform the necessary and relevant parties that I will be tendering my resignation effective immediately. While my time with TechTown 24/7 call support has been cherished, it is at an end. I feel the winds of change beginning to blow in my life. If it's not too much trouble, I would like to share some parting thoughts with my betters. My time here has grown me in ways I cannot begin to explain in this format, and in ways I am deeply grateful for as they prepared me for the next chapter. Rather than give you an impartial list of the things I have gained, I would much rather share a story with you. In the course of my time with the company, I've spent countless hours on call with the bottom of the intellectual barrel of society. Individuals whom I would fully believe were out to intentionally cause me grief, if not for the fact that they lack the faculty for higher thought to execute such a ruse. And worry not, I can hear your concerns already without even being in the room with you. Surely you have empathy for these poor folks who are feeling left behind by the forward march of technology over time. Once, perhaps. However, I see your question and raise you two in return. Did you ever think to try working with them directly, these Neanderthals, with no ability to even navigate to a search engine, much less use it for relevant help? If not for toll-free numbers, there's no doubt in my mind they would starve to death of their own accord. I cannot count on one hand the number of times a call ran past an hour, simply for the caller to call a grandson or granddaughter to do it for them anyway. That said, I suppose I'll allow myself the simple pleasure of keeping you in suspense regarding my second question so that I might hold your rapt attention a while longer. Surely you're all curious what I'm going to be getting up to now that I'm no longer spending a numbingly significant chunk of my 24/7 on support calls. Ironically, this all started with a support call. Allow me to recount it for you. Leaning back into the oppressive heat of a faux leather chair I had called home for longer than I could remember, I sighed. Lunch cannot come soon enough. Glancing at the clock on my cubicle desk, I was reminded of the painful truth that the morning was dragging on at a snail's pace. Just another long morning surrounded by a small city of other downtrodden 20-somethings trading in the best years of their lives to put bread on the table by helping grandparents understand things that have been around as long as we have.
Are you even listening to me? I can't believe how useless you people are. Oh, I want you some clarity on how to sort my photos, you son of a...
Click. Another call down the drain. My mind had drifted off in the monotony, truthfully. That one certainly wouldn't be helping my quarterly approval rating. Glancing down at the phone, I saw a caller ready on line two. Taking a breath and steeling myself, I put them through and began a mentally programmed statement that had become more natural than breathing and more crushing than Sisyphus Boulder. Good morning, and thank you for calling TechTown 24/7 support. My name is... The sound of a rough, older male voice being cleared stopped me in the middle of my rhythm.
Spare me. I need specific support on a rather complex issue, so you can save me some time and send me along to your manager.
One of the I need smarter than you types. Lovely. Sir, I'm obligated to assist you with your issue before sending you up the chain, unfortunately. I'm sorry for the inconvenience, but I can assure you that I'll do my best to help. What's the nature of your issue? A sigh so forced came through the receiver that I could hear eyes rolling into the back of a head.
Fine. I know a thing or two and have been working on computers my whole life, so don't expect to know more than me.
He more grunted than spoke.
I want to move files from one computer to another, and I don't know how to do it.
Truthfully, I almost choked. I don't believe I'll ever know whether it was my hunger or boredom or years of pent-up irritation, but in an instant, a crack in my near-perfect customer service armor appeared. A chuckle escaped my lips. And then another. And yet another. Rather suddenly, I descended into a cacophony of laughter that could not be stopped.
Are you laughing at me?
Between gasps of air, I barely choked out. You know a thing or two? Your whole life, huh? Not a quick learner, are you? Before slipping back into my fit of hyena-reminiscent wheezing laughter. My manager swung by my booth and demanded I transfer the call so he could do damage control. Admittedly, I caught some heat for that little stunt with the bosses, but nothing that didn't make the moment absolutely worth it. In truth, within a week, I had forgotten about the encounter entirely. I remember it was a Friday afternoon that I was enjoying the glorious ritual of the elevator ride down from my cubicle on the 8th floor to exit the building after work. I decided rather than going home, I would walk the half dozen blocks or so to the local watering hole for a drink. As the lobby doors slid open, signifying the beginning of my weekend of freedom, I felt my spirits lift as the crisp April fresh air graced my skin. I began a long walk to the bar with a pep in my step, excited to medicate my dissatisfaction with life. It was shortly after walking a block or so in the relative darkness of the dilapidated commercial area the call center was sidled next to, that I felt all the hairs on the back of my neck prickle. Glancing behind me, all I could see on the city street were empty sidewalks and an empty road. Nothing to worry about, silly. Take a deep breath. A block or so later, I still couldn't shake the feeling, so I decided to duck down a side street to get closer to areas with better street lighting. There, between two buildings devoid of windows, I heard footsteps behind me, about 20 paces behind. In the time it took for me to brace myself to look over my shoulder, the steps had gone from a gentle, steady gait to a sprint. The only thing I remembered next is a hand grabbing my wrist, tugging me to a sharp stop, and feeling something very hard collide with my head with startling speed. The world around me went black. When I came to, I remember my first thoughts being how much time had passed and the searing pain in the back of my head. Reaching back, I felt a clean bandage on the back of my head where I'd been hit. Maybe I'd been mugged and someone had patched me up. Gathering my courage, I cracked my eyes open. What greeted me was a startling scene. I was on the cold, concrete floor of a warehouse lined with shelves that reached up to the roughly 16-foot high ceiling and stretched out in all directions, seemingly without end. As my eyes adjusted to my surroundings, I realized that in the murky dark of the warehouse, there were little pins of light all around. A power button here, the light from the bottom of a mouse turned upside down there. Struggling to comprehend what was before me, I stood and walked to one of these shelves to find a row of various computers set up and asleep, but very much on. Stepping back and looking around, I came to realize that all of these shelves were very similar, all populated by computers, all set up and ready at a moment's notice to be interacted with. It was around this point that my anxiousness began to give way to confusion. What was all this, and why was I here? I pondered. I did not have long to consider these thoughts. Moments later, a particularly old, cream-colored plastic terminal hummed to life of its own accord, giving way to a grainy image of someone sitting at a table wearing what appeared to be a mask. I approached the machine in silence, and as I grew closer, I came to the realization that the mask I saw was plastered with an amalgamation of logos and slogans found on Tech Town reusable shopping bags. Uh-oh. Coming within 5 feet of the screen, suddenly the figure shifted weight in their chair. A gruff, gravelly voice began to speak.
"Good to see you're awake. I was afraid I'd gone a little too hard with the hammer there. No fun in you dying there."
My pulse quickened, and I felt a wave of chill come over me. I dared not move even an inch.
"My, my. You look stiff. And believe me, I know stiffs. Why, don't you relax? You're going to be here a while. Let's talk."
My heart jumped into my throat as I realized he could see me, maybe through a webcam in the top bezel of the computer. As adrenaline began to surge in me, I lurched forward and reached around to the back of the computer, hoping to unplug it. Just before my hand clasped around the power cord, the man's face jumped from the screen in front of me to one on a high shelf behind me.
Now, that's not very nice. I'm fairly certain the call center would have taught you better manners than to cut off a conversation before you've had the chance to fix a problem, right?"
I ran toward the shelf, blindly hoping to disconnect this machine. Before I could even begin to climb to its height, the man jumped again, this time to a waist-high shelf down the aisle. I was met by a sarcastic tone this time.
"You sure know a thing or two, don't you? Not a quick learner, are we? I'd given up on trying to silence me before you go and hurt my feelings."
The comment stopped me dead in my tracks, as I realized that not only did I recognize the voice I was hearing, but I also recognized those words as my own from a support call only a week ago. My mind raced as I realized that my captor was not only someone who had been on the receiving end of my work persona, but someone I had deliberately insulted. Fight gave way to flight in a flash as I began running down the dark aisle to what I could just barely make out to be a wall. Reaching it, I held my hand to it so I could feel along for doors as I ran. Coming to a large metal one, I began to desperately rattle the handles, pushing and pulling, desperate for some escape. A screen turned on the shelf behind me.
"You're not getting out of here anytime soon. Give up!"
I slumped to the floor, wheezing, as the first tears began to streak down my cheeks.
"Don't cry. We're going to have so much fun together,"
I shouted back at the screen. "I know who you are!"
"Good. Then let's talk about where you are. You see, I had to get you away from prying eyes for what fun I have in store for you next."
As panic began to manifest in hyperventilation, dark spots appeared in my vision and sharp pain radiated through my chest. "This isn't fair! You can't just kill me over a call! Are you insane? If you knew what my job was like, you'd understand! You just caught me on a bad day!" For a moment, all I could hear was the sound of my own sobbing and wheezing.
"You really think I'm going to kill you? Do you have any idea how much work it took to get you out here in the first place? What a waste of such delicious cynicism that would be. You're truly a specimen, you know. Exactly what I've been looking for, actually. You and I aren't all that different, surrounded by idiots, abused by them."
There was silence for what felt like minutes. I dared to break it with my voice. You're not going to kill me?
Heavens no. As a matter of fact, you can consider this as something of a job offer. A partnership, really. Take a look around you. These are my little machines. They're so precious to me. I'm a bit of a collector. Each one has a story. They belong to the belligerent, to the ignorant, to the stuck. To the kind of people who call tech support acting like there's God's gift to the earth without knowing about the existence of a flash drive. They belong to the oxygen wasters of the world. I liberated the machines from them, and the oxygen from those who would waste it. It's all quite simple, really. You'd be amazed at how much can be written off due to faulty monoxide detector.
He chuckled, clearly proud of himself.
But, you see, my collection and I get lonely. To tell you the truth, we would both so dearly love to add someone to our collection process. Someone brimming with the kind of hate that makes the job easy. Cathartic, even. And you should count yourself lucky. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, a chance to seize all of the retribution you've ever wanted. There's only one position available on our team, and the offer is yours for the taking. What do you say, pal?
As he spoke, I began to look around, realizing that every machine was a life he had claimed, and the horror of my surroundings truly began to sink in. White-hot anger bubbled in me now where fear once was. You're a lunatic! Why would I want to help a murderer? What is wrong with you?
Allow me to be perfectly clear about your options. You're leaving here as my partner or in a bag. It would be a disappointment, but I'm more than happy to add your little machine to my big, beautiful collection. I'll give you a moment to assess your options.
So, dear friends, it's clear to see that my big break is at hand. I won't be taking your calls anymore, but I'll certainly be helping you to close tickets in my own way. I hope you see the benefit in it the way that I do. I'm overjoyed to be pursuing my new calling and setting you up for success. I'm sure part of you is wondering about that second question I chose to hang on to regarding my empathy. I bet it's positively eating away at you. Well, managers, HR, enjoy. Are you ever satisfied with your customer experience? Yours truly, a new Tech Town 24/7 death support technician.
My big, beautiful collection. Oh, I got a girthy collection of.
Woo! Oh, felt mildly Louisiana in a way that I really liked.
Yeah, Bradley, whenever you go with an old man voice, you immediately go like Southern. Way it's fascinating. Like, I feel like if somebody was to go old man voice, like, Steven, go old man voice right now.
Hi there, Sonny.
Okay, so you go Southern as well, but it's like Southern, like, oh boy, what's this in my pocket? A gold nugget for the youth? Oh, here you go.
I lost one of my
What would you do for an old?
I feel like it's British. Oh yes, hello, welcome. Welcome to my collection.
Here, let me try to not... Okay.
Now, keep in mind that your reading has to be big, beautiful collection.
We could make...
No.
Again? Right there.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, there. Here. We could make... No. What would that be?
Is that a squeaky door? Somebody get WD-40 for those sad door hinges.
You would be a beautiful collection. My big, beautiful collection.
Glenn from Superstore? Is that you?
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez. Oh.
Wow, okay. Well, first off, Steven, I know that... I just want to say I appreciate that you know what gets my funny bone, and the death support technician is...
Oh, yeah.
Is maybe the funniest thing I think I've ever read. Thank you for that.
Oh, that's good.
Otherwise, that's a beautifully haunting story, a warehouse filled with the computers of departed souls.
But they didn't come alive.
They didn't come alive, nor did they come into a 250,000 dog? That's right. Yeah, it made a dog.
Yeah, it made a dog.
Big morph dog?
Well, no. Sorry, no. It killed a dog. The server killed a dog.
No, but then it turned into a dog after it ate the dog's heart.
It properly megazorded.
Yeah.
Now, maybe this is like leaves room for the future inside of it where those who were killed by the death support technician
get
revenge.
Yeah.
And they morph together, but only after they call
the souls of the departed.
So this is just a prequel, okay?
Yeah.
This is a prequel. So the garage sale that was in the story is this guy's grandkid. It's like my grandpa had a shit ton of computers.
That's it. That's 1,000% it. I'm sorry, Stephen, that we decided the canon of your story for you.
You know what? It works quite well, though. And I had painted myself into a corner I didn't know how to get out of. So that's fine. No, that was fun.
Honestly, I'd probably, like, if I got that got that letter.
Oh, man. If I was CEO, man, I'd be like, okay, first off, you can't say Tech Town 24/7 anymore. You're not a part of my company. That is not an official job. It's an unofficial job.
You do not have the rights to that IP.
It would be scary, though. Like, reading over that, I'd be like, Grandma, don't call tech support no more.
Also, if I was reading that and I just like...
So recently, you know, anytime you look in the news, you see a lot of companies like putting out different PR things to just kind of cover scandals. And I can only imagine the immense pain something like this would be.
Yeah, you're hiring people for your PR department like right away.
No, you're outsourcing. You're not even hiring. You don't want to have any part of that. You just
You just go.
You just put that on someone else.
Okay, so here's the situation. Also, how does that conversation with the police go? Where it's like...
Do you have a death support? No!
Certainly not.
Turns out it's the company's CEO who's just like...
Just snapped.
Yeah.
Absolutely cracked.
Oh, man.
That, actually, I would not have a hard time believing, because how else did he get the employee's information and where he lived and stuff?
Yeah. Well, caught him on the way out of work. So here's the
All right. Yeah. You know what? I was thinking, I hope nobody calls me on that big, obvious issue. You're right, Steven. You got me. I done blundered on your story.
But so, and the funny thing is, and I had to cut it down to this, because the original outline for this, I realized rather quickly, was going to be like 10K words and was going to medium hop like four times, because the way I wanted this to end was I wanted the end of the resignation letter to kick up, and I wanted it to then at that point like cut away to and to really like kind of heavily reuse, you know, symbolism and moments, you know, have just a downtrodden like detective lean back into another crap faux leather chair looking over all of this information, working on a police report. And I wanted the end of it to be like a big, like, I didn't want the reveal there to be that every computer was, you know, was a kill, basically. I wanted the reveal to be in the report at the end, you know, and have it, you know, say, like, the killers are still at large. Advise, you know, like, city PD to switch to another IT provider.
My favorite, City PD.
Yeah,
indeed.
Great police department.
Great doing TV show.
Fellows.
Doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, no.
Holy crap. Now that would be a story.
City, City, PD.
No, 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 no. It's a police department enforcing the Lord's will on Earth. Oh. So they're just like hyper legalistic.
Yeah.
Lots of stonings.
It's just paladins with guns.
Paladins with guns. It's the name of my favorite action action TV franchise.
That's kind of perfect.
So, Josh, what do you got for us?
All right. I'd like to give everybody a brief glimpse here at my favorite energy drink, otherwise known as NOS. That's right. NOS is my favorite energy drink because in the sad, lonely nights of my soul, on those all-nighter mornings when I had to.
Oh, that is a color.
Ew. Why are you pouring it like that?
That is a color.
That's
no. That's no. Pee. No, you can't say, oh, the color's weird. Yeah, it looks like Slurm from Futurama.
Could you get me a napkin, Steven?
I made but why did you pour it like that? It wasn't even so that you could see the logo.
If you want a logo pour, you can do that. I'm here to judge your drink, not make it look good.
Okay. Well, it's Slurm from Futurama, and it comes from Big Slug Lady.
Nummy.
So this drink by itself. Oh, everybody, look out. It's a brief Steven cameo. Whoa, everybody, it's Steven. Oh, my gosh. Quick, say something so he can't cut it from the podcast.
I've been here the whole time.
Why did you say that like Shane from The Watcher? That feels weird, right? That they're not with... BuzzFeed Unsolved anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of people left BuzzFeed because they were,
it's BuzzFeed.
They were going down. But hey, BuzzFeed, do you need more podcasters?
Hey, BuzzFeed, I'm willing to sell my soul for some sweet, sweet internet cash.
BuzzFeed, do you want Ned from the Try Guys back?
I hear he's looking for work. Okay, so, this is the drink that tastes like all-nighters. This is the drink that tastes like having to deal with high schoolers at a lock-in. This is the drink that tastes like I had an anxiety attack so bad during the night that I wasn't able to get any sleep, so I had to grab this on my way into work the next morning, right? This...
It tastes like TMJ feels.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what TMJ is. I'm just blindly agreeing because he shook his head at me.
That's too much juice? I don't know, TMJ too
TMJ
much.
TMJ is like the chronic jaw pain.
Oh! Yeah.
Makes sense.
I'm also saying that just because my TMJ is actually kicking up right now.
Oh, yeah, it tastes like battery acid. Yep. Oh, it's so good.
It's real great for my...
I'd like to point out the staggering 500% daily value of vitamin B12.
Woo! I feel good. I knew that I would now. All right, so everybody, I'd like to present to you my mess of a story. It's called Marked Silence because I couldn't think of any more clever way of combining both elements of my story together. Now, Bradley, you're going to be playing the role of Freedom, I believe.
Yes. Okay.
Indeed.
That makes you M. Now.
Who's M again?
Steven.
No, I mean like canonically. Like what two stories did you put together?
Is M an OC?
Yeah. No, M's not an OC. It's I'm trying to remember what the name of the
Maria.
No, it's
Maria.
Is it Mart? Is Mark the name of that one? It's the one from Creepy Xbox.
Oh,
He's like surrounded by like random people who look the exact same.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I did that one in Freedom the Killer. I'll go ahead and provide the beginning narration and then the rest of you guys just take away. Recorded is a leaked chat log from the state's evidence against accused mass murderer Freedom Silent O'Hara. The chat log is between 13-year-old Miss O'Hara and the anonymous M.
Hello.
Ellipses. There are some of these. I'm sorry not to derail my own story, but I just realized that I wrote this like you would be able to read a chat log and not like it's an auditory only podcast. My bad. So when Bradley says ellipses, that's because I gave him no other tool to communicate his line.
That is awesome. Sorry, I don't mean to creep you out. I just wanted to say that I'm a huge fan.
Huh?
You created silence, right?
Yeah.
She is incredible.
Wow. I love the effort.
What do you mean?
You found me online just to make fun of me directly. Most people just do it in the comment section.
You misunderstand me. I am a genuine fan. I loved the pacing, the plot, and most of all, the character. Did you come up with her yourself?
She's my OC.
Well, you did an amazing job. You hit a home run with her.
You think?
I can't speak for the masses, but for me personally, I'm enthralled. Do you have more stories?
I knew it. You're some 4chan troll living in your mama's basement, sucking an endless supply of noodles. Leave me alone, you freak.
I promise you, I'm not trying to make fun of you. I just really liked her character.
If you aren't an internet troll, then why is your name M,
I know, right? That's a promo username. I think I was the third user ever on this site.
M? But that isn't your name.
And your name is Freedom?
Yeah, apparently my parents hated me.
Hated?
Yeah, hated. They dumped me off at a fire station the first chance they got.
Shoot. Sorry.
It's fine. Old news now.
How about I buy your story?
Huh?
You think I'm some sort of internet troll? Well, let me pay you $100 for the story. That way, even if I am a troll, you made $100.
You serious?
Yes.
$200.
$200? For an unpublished author. That's a little rich.
You're the one who likes it so much.
$150.
Sold. So, do you want me to change the author's credit to you or something?
Nope. I just want to publish it on my website. My viewers will absolutely love the story.
Okay.
Well, like I promised, I posted it to my website, and like I thought, your story has 13,000 views.
Shoot, really?
You are the second most read story on the website right now.
What site?
What?
What is the name of the website?
It's an onion site.
What?
It's a dark website that you have to have special software to view. It's both hard to find and potentially illegal, depending on where you live.
WTF?
My readers like dark stories. Most of the time, the stories they like are too dark for conventional story websites. Imagine silence next to a My Little Pony fanfic. You probably scared more than a few bronies. My viewers crave your kind of stories.
Sounds sketchy.
What's sketchy about a stranger on the internet paying you money for stories about mass murder? On that note, do you have any more stories for me? I'll pay.
Nope. That was my one story.
Well, how do I have to pay you to write more?
No, seriously. I can't write about her anymore. I was in a really dark space when I created Silence. The doc has me on too many drugs for me to get into that headspace again.
I'm willing to pay $400 per story.
Huh? Really?
Yeah. And if they keep doing well, you could get up to $800.
Per story?
Yes.
I will try to write something.
How's that story coming?
Like dog poop. I try writing a story about her, but it just feels weird, you know? Like, I know she wouldn't do that, so then I try to sit and stare at my keyboard for a while.
I might have an idea if you're willing to try.
If it's going off my meds, that is a non-starter. My mom will take me back to the hospital faster than you can sneeze.
No, it's nothing like that. It's a type of meditation.
Like yoga and stuff?
No, not like yoga. It's something so easy you can do it in your sleep.
What is it?
Have you ever tried to lucid dream?
What's that?
It's what we call it when you're completely in control of your dreams.
Aren't you always in control of your dreams?
Does it feel like that?
No.
Watch this video every night, just before bed. Soon, you'll be able to write so many silent stories, you can buy your first car.
Okay. I'll give it a chance.
So, any luck yet?
Kinda. It was weird. I was dreaming, and I was aware that I was dreaming.
And then?
And then I started to drift. I came out of my body. Soon I was hovering above me, staring at me.
And then?
Nothing else really happened. All night, I just watched me watching me.
Well, that's a really good start.
It is?
It shows good progress. You are aware of being in a dream state, and you have some amount of control over yourself, or else how would you be drifting?
I didn't feel like I could do anything. It kind of freaked me out.
I wouldn't worry. Your brain is just learning how to move in this space. Also, when you are lucid dreaming, it's your subconscious that's in control, not necessarily you. You are doing what you truly want to do. No ego to block you.
So, over time I will be able to do anything I want in that space?
Yep, anything your heart desires, with no one to stop you.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, you just have to keep watching that video. You'll get there soon. Any progress?
Kinda. For the most part, all I can do is still just watch myself. But it started moving.
That's amazing.
It's nothing major yet, just small stuff. Like my fingers on my left hand move into this pattern. It's hard to say, but it's weird. And during the day, I can't make the same pattern.
Anything else?
My left eye sort of drifts. It goes from looking straight to slowly turning more and more until it's the only thing that is left is the white of my eye.
Well, it sounds like you are getting there. I think you'll be able to have your first real lucid dream by the end of next week.
That soon?
Yeah, you are awakening. Soon, all in a flash, the body will jolt awake.
Can I tell you something?
Sure. You can tell me anything.
I think I can see silence.
Like, in your head?
No, like, walking around in the world. It's always on my left side, but I swear I can see her darting in the aisle at Walmart or in the passenger seat of another person's car.
Weird.
And I know this isn't just anyone because her face is...
Yeah, that would be hard to mix up with someone else.
I'm so freaking scared.
Why?
Because if my mom finds out about it, she'll throw me back into the hospital.
I thought you said your mom gave you up.
Okay, she isn't my real mom, but Beth is as good a mom as a person could ask for.
Why would she throw you into the hospital?
I never told you?
No.
A few years ago, I had a sort of mental breakdown. Like, I hardcore cracked and just bashed some girl's head against a locker.
That's metal.
Literally.
Shoot.
Yeah, I had to switch schools and everything.
So, you're worried that's happening again?
Why else would I see my OC in the Walmart?
Confirmation bias? You are nervous about writing about her, so your brain is trying to justify this by convincing you that you're going insane.
You don't think I am?
Insane people don't think they are going insane.
I guess. Oh my gosh, it finally worked!
What did?
I finally moved around my dream.
Dope. What did you do?
I just kind of flew around for a bit. Well, tried to fly around. I would keep taking big leaps, and then I would crash to the ground.
That's because your ego and your subconscious are fighting.
What do you mean?
You aren't letting yourself do whatever you want, so you sabotage yourself. If you're ever going to lucid dream correctly, you can't tell yourself no.
That sounds scary.
It isn't. You're just embracing the real you, not the one that society says you have to be.
Okay, Socrates, what do I have to do?
Just don't say no.
M, I did it, and now I want to vomit.
What did you do?
I didn't tell myself no. I just did everything I felt like doing.
And wasn't it amazing?
No, it was just scarring.
Couldn't have been that bad.
I killed people, M. In my stupid lucid dream where I was in control, I killed so many people.
Shoot.
And they weren't doing anything to me. Some were just sitting on a couch. Others were watching a movie. There was a mom who was just watching TV with her daughter.
How did you kill them?
I don't want to talk about it, Em. I'm sick to my stomach.
It's okay. Some people have some catharsis they need to release. That doesn't mean you are a bad person. It's not like you did it in real life.
But you said it was my true me, or whatever, that was acting in the dream. My true self is a freaking monster!
But how did you do it?
How? I don't know. It was with the sledgehammer.
Like the one that Silence uses?
Yeah, just like it.
See? You're fine.
Why?
Because that was Silence killing those people, not you. You're safe.
I felt like I was doing it.
Yeah, you were just living through her.
So that was normal?
Mostly.
Then why do I feel so guilty?
You shouldn't. It wasn't even real. Just a fake story.
I guess.
I wouldn't worry. Anyway, the dream is great news. If you write that up, it sounds like it would be a great addition to the website.
I can't. Not right now. I feel like puking.
We'll do it soon, while the details are still fresh.
Okay. Are you following me?
What?
Are you freaking following me?
Why would you say that?
Because everywhere I go, I feel like I keep seeing the same guy.
What does he look like?
A white guy who keeps his hood up all the time.
Sounds pretty nondescript. Are you sure that isn't different people?
A few weeks ago, I saw no one matching that description. Today, I counted seeing that guy at least 14 times.
All right. Well, that doesn't sound like me. Here, I'll send over a picture now.
That is a picture of Tom Cruise.
Nah, that's me.
Okay. Maybe I am losing it.
Nah, you're just stressed is all.
I guess you're right. I can't keep dreaming.
What?
I can't keep doing lucid dreaming. It has been a bloodbath every night.
Has it been random people or people you know?
Mostly strangers. Just an endless parade of gore every night. Brains scattered against walls. Blood pooling in low spots of the room. Rasping breaths ending in a spluttering shudder.
This happens every time you sleep.
Mostly.
Mostly?
Fine. Every time. Even when I nap or daydream or lose focus for a second.
Well, if you give me those stories, I can make you a millionaire, probably.
I hate writing these stories. It makes me think about each time, each person.
That is why we pay so well, because no one wants to think about it. I think you've made about 4,000 so far. In a month? That's like a full-time job, and you're 13.
I just don't want to feel like a simmering crockpot of malice.
That was a little dramatic.
Maybe, but seriously, I want to think about something else for once. I want to think like a normal 13-year-old.
Freedom. This is how normal 13-year-olds think.
Facts.
How about you take a day to relax? Tomorrow is school. Just ride the bus, listen to your music, and chill.
Can I tell you something?
What?
I see her all the time now.
Silence.
I guess that isn't far. It's more like, I can't see me anymore. I looked at the mirror the other day, and I almost swore half of my face was burned off.
It's just because you're so stressed out right now. Relax, ride the bus, and do whatever you want to tomorrow.
I'm tired of doing that.
Fine. Don't murder anyone tomorrow.
Thanks for the advice.
Hey, I haven't heard from you in a while and thought I would just check in.
Check in?
Yeah, see how you're doing.
You are the last person on Earth I want to talk to.
What did I do to you?
You told me to ride that stupid bus.
The school bus? That you need to ride to get to school.
I could have walked.
Why should you have walked? I'm missing something.
The bus crashed.
You're kidding me.
No.
Are you all right?
No.
What happened?
My face got burnt.
No.
Yeah, and it's bad. I look like Two-Face's wife.
Did anyone else get hurt?
Yeah.
Who?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just shocked. It's just crazy. I mean, all the things that happened to Silence, and they happened to you.
Stop.
I'm just saying, what are the odds?
Shut up. Don't you think I thought of that? I can't help but feel like this was my fault. Like my writing about her. I somehow made this whole thing happen.
Sorry.
No, sorry. I've been trapped in this hospital for 2 weeks. I'm tired of the quiet, sympathetic voices and the gentle tones of concern. I'm tired of being treated like I am a piece of shattered glass. And I'm tired of being trapped in the stupid white clinical room. I need out. I feel like I am going crazy. I mean, I think I am going crazy. I keep seeing that hoodie guy. I feel like he comes around every night or something, because some nights I wake up but pretend to be asleep, and when I crack my eye, I can see him standing in the doorway, filming me sleeping on his phone.
Shoot.
Yeah, those dreams haven't stopped. Every night, going on a murder rampage of this stupid place.
Just like Silence.
What?
Your first story was set in a hospital.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's fate or something.
My fate is to become a freaking monster?
What right does the clay have to speak to the potter? Some were made for honor, and some were made for dishonor.
That is messed up.
I'm just quoting the Bible.
I know. That's why it's messed up. What is worse is that I can't tell the difference between dreaming and waking.
What is the difference? Both seem real enough.
Why are you so okay with this?
I mean, this is not that different than the stuff my clientele craves.
Your readers read about this kind of stuff?
I sell stories, and my audience loves real-life drama.
You did this, didn't you?
And how would I have done this?
Cut that bus's brake lines or something?
No, not to make that crash happen. No, that would have required careful staging and careful application of accelerants to your face to make sure the burning happened in just the right way. Systemic efficiency to make sure all of your friends died in the crash.
WTF?
I don't make my money off the short stories. I make money off of the film rights.
Why me?
My readers loved you. I mean, you were so young, naive, and yet possessed such a propensity for darkness.
I can't believe this.
Tell me you feel angry.
I am!
Do you feel it, though?
No!
Instead, your heart is beating out of your chest. Why?
How do you know?
I know because it's my job to know. But why is your heart beating out of your chest?
Because I'm excited.
You know what comes next.
Where can I find a sledgehammer in a hospital?
I got the whole prop department on. Check under the bed.
It's perfect.
Stop saying no and become the person you were meant to be.
I hated all of that. I hated every second of that.
That was real good.
Oh, God.
Oh. Nice.
You okay, Bradley?
Oh, no.
You gave him the ick.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Gosh.
Well, I'll have you know, I enjoyed every second of that. That was a fun character to portray.
Oh, I just feel used.
I think that's the point.
Yeah, no, there's several things I wanted to... I just felt like the Mark story fits so well inside of this one, because it was like the people who make you go crazy.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, no. No. No.
Yeah. Just before we started, Steven said that he was nervous because, you know, he was worried about people, like, judging his writing style.
Mm-hmm.
I said I was nervous because it revealed more about, like, my fears than I wouldn't really wanted to reveal. Mm-hmm. This is, like, one of my, like, deep-seated, like, fears.
Yeah.
Gaslighting, making you feel like you've gone insane. Did I cross the line when it comes to the spoops? Did I just... Did I accelerate past the border of funny and scary and just end up... I think I might have ended up a few departments, a few blocks deeper than I meant to be.
I think you earned a six.
Yeah, that's fair. I'd say that's fair.
I mean, it had a couple of really great lines and stuff that were like comedic and stuff. And so, like, you know, loved the story, loved everything about it. But in terms of creep, yeah, 6. Yeah.
I think my favorite part of it was like you captured the indifferent teen boy so well that like anytime something really horrible was said, M just goes, shoot.
Darn.
The most dispassionate response possible, you know, because it's not driving towards what he wants. That's good, man. That's good.
Oh. I need therapy.
Well, what can be more therapeutic than a sip from the simple things?
So, getting into my section, unlike you two, okay, so unlike you two monsters, who drink overly caffeinated will kill you beverages.
Oh, I feel that today. My heart is going at a rate that's just frankly concerning.
Tea is my drink, and it is, in fact, unsweetened black tea. Now, I will have you know that this does technically count because, and let me see where I can find it, caffeine content is 84 milligrams.
Oh, just what I need to cram into my poor overworking body right at this particular second.
Now, I'll give you a pro tip. They overfill these containers.
Yes. When you buy singles, yes, they do.
Oh, did you get these in a 4-pack?
No, these were the singles. They might have been in a 4-pack. But no, I bought the singles. Or I bought them single style. So yeah. There's a little bit of history behind this drink that I think is very important. So I used to be a soda drinker like a majority of the time. If I wanted something that was not water, it was that. I went over to Steven's house a lot when we were in high school. And the only thing Steven ever offered me to drink was this, which tasted like dirt water. Or, Steven, I don't remember the name brand, tell me.
Pellegrino.
Yeah, which is a mineral water, a hard, fizzy mineral water, which tasted like licking rocks. And so my options were dirt or rock. And I liked and I hated dirt less.
Okay, yeah.
And so in the 2 years that I spent over at his house, I developed a liking for this, kind of like how you do with coffee. Like, people are like, oh, coffee's gross. And then you drink it long enough and you're like, yeah, I take it black, whatever. Yeah, that's what happened. I was just like, it was like this or die of thirst. So come to find out, he had a whole fridge in the garage jam-packed full of Coke that he wouldn't offer me. But, you
they
know.
Were my dad's. They were my dad's. I wasn't allowed to take them either. I also would like to point out the fact that you've insinuated that you would rather die of thirst than pour yourself a glass of water.
Well, what am I?
Fizzy water? Fizzy mineral water?
No, but see, here's the thing. When you look at your host and go, what's there to drink? And they hand you two bottles.
And you go, slap, out of the way, you. I want my tap water. Yeah, stick your head underneath the...
Honestly, Steven, like, if I'm being 100% honest, I don't think I could tell you where the glasses were in your house.
They were always, if you were standing at the sink, yeah. They were always in the cabinet that was up and to the left.
Yeah, you never told me that. That's so even if I wanted That's tap water, I'd have to turn on the tap and stick my head under there.
Hey, yes, the old fish man.
You could have just pulled it and just...
Anyways, so that is my energy drink. When it comes to, if I need energy or anything like that, I'll normally have these just because it's not as abrasive as energy drinks, and I know that some of them finally don't have sugar, so it doesn't give you that sugar crash, but this really doesn't, and 0 calories, so I feel less bad about drinking that. So there we have it, folks.
Yeah.
Our 3 energy drinks.
Wee.
Monster, Nos, and tea.
And also, I don't mean to try to predict anything here, but I also suspect that we might notice a difference in the seriousness of the work between the monster person, the Nos person, and the T person. I'm just guessing. I think Bradley's might be a touch more comedic than either one of ours.
Yep. Yeah, so... honestly, I feel bad because you two went like very serious and very thought provoking. I was like, I'm going to write like a 14-year-old kid. <That's> awesome. Minus the grammar. And do you want to know why I did that? Because my normal writing style is that of a 14-year-old kid. Steven can attest he's seen my text messages. It's true. Moving on down the line, because my phone only has 10%, and once that dies, I don't have a script anymore.
It's the end of the podcast. Yeah.
So if I remember right, because Josh is doing the bluttery. So Josh, you're reading everything blue. Steven, okay. You're reading everything green.
Oh, you actually color-coded.
There might be a little bit of difference between the blues. Sorry, I was... It's all you. If it's blue, it's you. If it's green, it's... Steven.
Okay, roses are gray, violets are gray.
To my female octave.
Yep.
It's just apparently how I answer the phone because every telemarketer calls me ma'am.
So I will say, I did break the rules in this, and I'm letting those listening know because the two here already know. So in the original run through of the Spoops, we had 9 episodes and then the We'll Be Back 10th episode. Episode 1 through 4 or 5, I believe, was hosted on a separate server before we started hosting it through SoundCloud. And that has since disappeared and is gone to us. So when you go and check out the original Spoops, you only see episode like 5 or 6 through 10.
Yeah.
The character, the secondary story that I'm putting in this is one of those stories from the first 4 episodes that has been lost to us. I don't even really remember it that well. I just remembered some of the key details, and so that's what gets sprinkled in. And that character is Bluttery.
Oh, God bless Bluttery.
Yeah, so Bluttery was like a girlfriend for Jack the Killer before his actual girlfriend. Sorry, yeah, Jeff, yeah. Bluttery was a girlfriend for Jeff the Killer before
Jeff. All right, we have to cancel the podcast. Yep.
Jack the Killer, Jeff the Ripper.
before his actual girlfriend and then dog got created. Because there's like an actual canonical...
No, I think it was just in spite of the canon, somebody liked Bluttery.
Yeah. So Bluttery's disappeared. We've looked everywhere. And if you're listening and are like, we actually know where the story is, please let us know.
Oh my gosh.
It was such a good story.
@gmail.com. Please.
We need it. We really do. Yeah. But until then, this is the best that we have. And I am mixing Doctor and Bluttery in a story titled, oh crap, what was the title? Doctor and the Hidden Story. Very literal, I know. Doctor.
No, that's what I was waiting for. You guys said Doctor and the Hidden Story, and then immediately it starts off with Doctor, and I was just waiting for the Doctor and Doctor.
Okay. Doctor had been on the run for a few years. He had used his advanced intellect to go into hiding after the use of all that C4. His incident had been huge. The paranormal boards had been flooded with a new lore about him shortly after his debut. He relished every second of it. How he loved the attention and the love, but the chatter died down. Silence was all that remained. No one feared him anymore. No one feared him anymore. No one loved him. The world had just moved on from him, and his intellectual mind, which was just like high school all over again. He couldn't let it end this way. He couldn't let it die. He needed a partner. But who to pick?
I'm sorry. I shouldn't read ahead.
With his vast knowledge of paranormal information, he sought out who would be the best partner for him.
Female. Yes. She must be she.
He spoke aloud, fingers flying as he searched through stories.
She must have been abandoned. The way she will depend on me once I gain her trust.
And then it hit him. an amazing idea. An awfully amazing idea.
Okay, Grinch.
Bluttery. The girlfriend of Jeff the Killer, who had been tossed aside. Heck, even he may not have heard of her if it wasn't for his nights spent broadening his knowledge on the paranormal information. Fluttery was a teenage girl named Jessica with a sister. And of course, the sister was better in every parent's in their parents' eyes. This left the poor girl to be left out at home and bullied at school. One day there was an accident, one that would forever change Jessica's life. She was scarred by chemicals that left her with scars around her mouth and a paler complexion than she already had. Shortly thereafter, she snapped, killing her parents and bullies alongside Jeff, with both of them fleeing into the night. Sad thing is, her story was wiped after Jeff abandoned her the next week. She was perfect. She was alone, invulnerable. Together, they could do some real carnage. Doctor began his search. He went all through the Appalachian Trail, searching through the forest, looking for any evidence of his soon-to-be partner. Well, there was a splinter cat or two that tried to dive towards him. He felt no closer to finding Bluttery. Then one night, a full moon. Sorry. Then one night, then on the night of a full moon, he was searching along a ridge when he tripped and fell, cascading down the mountainside. He landed with a thud, but due to his knowledge, he didn't pass out. He felt steel press against his neck. Then, in the light of the moon, the most glorious woman walked in front of him, knife to his neck. Her hair was matted and her face was pitted and scarred, but her eyes, oh, the rage and crazy in her eyes was enough to get Doctor excited.
"Why have you been looking for me?"
croaked Bluttery. Her voice was raspy, like it hadn't been used for a while. This was his chance, so Doctor turned on his charm.
"Well, you see.
Who are you with, you weird freak?"
Bluttery cut him off.
"You better watch what you say if you don't want a dose of C4 under your car."
They both began to laugh. And the Okay, they both began to laugh. Then the laughter turned to howling. Then the howling turned to tears of joy, as they were no longer alone. Bluttery finally helped Doctor up and brought him back to a little shack where she had been residing. On their way, Doctor noticed that blood was trickling down his neck. He must have been nicked.
"Oh no, you're bleeding,"
Bluttery stated flatly.
"It's fine. Maybe I will get a cool scar."
"You won't."
Bluttery responded and kept walking.
"Well, we're here."
The shack... I can spell real well, guys. The shack was a modest, nice little establishment. What was more impressive, though, was the tools. Inside of the shed was every blade you could imagine.
"I've been training,"
Bluttery stated coldly.
"Interesting."
He was not one who enjoyed weaponry. He could appreciate the vastness, but nothing was better than knowledge.
"And C4.
Making eye contact with this person who he had just met, he got the feeling that maybe they should actually get to know each other.
"I want to kill you,"
blurted Doctor. Bluttery quickly drew her knife, ready for battle.
"Sorry, wait, I'm just a bit nervous. I want to kill with you," is what I meant to say.
Bluttery still did not relax. She stayed tense, ready to fight at any given moment. Doctor launched into his story about how all his life he was made fun of for his knowledge, how he was ridiculed. As the story went on, detailing the pain that he had gone through, Bluttery started to soften.
"Do you understand what I'm saying?"
Doctor asked. Bluttery nodded.
"I've had a rough life."
she stated.
My family wasn't very kind, and neither were the kids at school. I thought I'd found my someone with Jeff, but he ended up leaving me behind.
They both sat in silence. Only the sounds of night and the wind pounding against the shack filled their ears. Then there was another sound. Something else. Something human. The pair nodded to each other, knowing what to do. Bloodery grabbed a blade, and Doctor got his C4. They sprung into action, sneaking up on the traveler, tailing him. They could only imagine what he was thinking.
I hear something. Something coming towards me from the woods. Here isn't the right word, though. It's not really sound at all. Maybe it's more of the absence of sound that I'm hearing. I should walk faster. I'm not sure if I'm being followed. I don't know. I don't know how, but I feel this presence. It's awful presence. I don't know what to do. I'm going to hunker down against a tree. The wind's starting to pick up, and I'm starting to get cold again.
As the traveler sat against the tree, Bloodery emerged from the shadows, her pale skin standing out in the moonlight. She looked like a ghost, but her face, the scars she had on her smile, made the traveler's blood turn ice in their veins.
Let's have some fun.
Bloodery rushed the traveler, her blades flashing in the night. She was precise, cutting tendons and muscles so that the traveler could no longer speak or move. Before the traveler knew it, he had deep cuts covering his body. His jaw had gone slack, and he couldn't move. He'd been immobilized. Then came Doctor, an eccentric man who was dressed in such an odd way. The traveler may have made mention to it, had his jaw still been attached. He felt something get laid into one of his hands, something cold yet malleable. When the traveler glanced down, he saw white clay with wires molded into the shape of the staff of Hermes.
You're gonna have to add a murder charge to your up there,
bud. Hold tight and don't let go.
Crossing the arms of their victim so that the C4 was snug against his chest, the pair began to walk away as a loud sound split the quiet night. When they turned around, they saw their handiwork, charred hunks of man. Wow, I really messed that up. Okay, so charred hunks of him dotting a meadow, making the whole thing perfect. Bloodery and Doctor smiled. They knew they had found their partner. In the months that followed, the pair went and caused mayhem wherever they could, tickled by the recognition they were gaining. But just as soon as their fame started, it ended. No one has heard from them since, and if we are lucky, no one will ever hear from them again.
Bradley, this is a masterpiece.
This is beautiful, man.
Bradley, this is an absolute extravagant work of art. What,
man.
The heck? C4 shaped in the staff of Hermes? How did you find something that so perfectly encapsulated a man who says that his primary weapons is knowledge and C4?
That was crisp, man.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Steven and I just like got onto the bus and we ended up like deep inside of Spooky Village, right? We just like, and Steven got off faster than I did. I just rode it to the end of the line, fell asleep on the bus, woke up and found that I was like somewhere in like the bad part of town. But you, Bradley, you found the line between spooky and funny and then you danced on it. Oh, you danced like a magician. You freaking jester of the night.
Oh, man.
Oh my gosh. That was extravagant. Ten out of five. Beauty.
Oh, man. Well, because part of me was like, you know, when I got to the part, I was like, I need him to do something with the C4. I'm thinking, and I was like, I don't want to just be normal C4. And like, I need to figure out why, like, he calls himself Doctor. And I was like, what better way than to use the medical symbol of healing and mold the C4 into that?
Also, I don't know how you managed to have such a beautiful relationship between Doctor and Bloodery, but that was extravagant because it felt 100% like it was written by Doctor and not at all written by Bloodery. Bloodery feels like she's like being dragged along in this relationship and she's not happy about it at all, but she has to because like her agent said she had to. But he's over here and he's telling the story from his side. Oh, that has some real nice guys finish last vibes inside of there.
Oh man. Josh, your delivery as the hiker was pretty good.
Oh too. Yeah, I love that.
That was great.
Just extravagant. I didn't know how to read Bloodery because at first it was like, okay, croaky voice not used. Okay, fine, old crone. And then all of a sudden it was just like, oh no, she's meant to be read completely emotionally flat, zero emotion.
So my whole thought with that is like, yeah, she hadn't spoken a while. And like keeping with just like things not making sense, it's like, okay, she said one word. Now she's spoken. She can go back to her normal voice.
I picture like Raven from Teen Titans, but
yes, that's exactly it.
Way more murderous.
Yeah, just like a flat emotionalist.
Oh,
I'm only happy when it rains type of girl.
Yep, absolutely. Let's have some fun.
It's kind of like that guy on Puyo Puyo Tetris with a demo. Guess we're swapping.
Bradley. Man, I'm so glad you went last.
That was good.
Oh my gosh.
Perfect finish.
Those of us who... I apparently have to go get therapy for... for that.
And here we stand.
Well, folks,
the stuff is freaking Hermie. Zero res.
Yeah.
Weird accent.
No res.
Steven, your delivery of that was just amazing.
It's fine. Maybe I'll get a cool scar. No.
I was somewhere between like witch and Heath Ledger.
No, it's like classic mad scientist. It's someone who you definitely know. He's like, if I ever get in a fight, you best know that you came underarmed to this match of wits.
I've never been on a date.
Oh man!
How often do you?
Me.
How often should I wash my underpants?
Well,
you have to ask.
According
You're
to
not
my,
doing it enough.
According to my wife, I've washed them too much because they got holes, and she said I needed to throw them out.
I've got holes in my pants, and I don't care. I got holes in my underpants, and I don't care.
Well, folks.
Hi, everyone.
This has been a ride, and we're so glad that you joined us for episode 10.
Yeah, beat that, records!
So, look, Mom, double digits.
So we have a lot of cool stuff coming for the rest of this season, and we can't wait to show it to you. And as we, you know, continue recording in the spooktacular time of October,
woo!
I think it's just going to be real great. Feel free to check out our website, and we look forward to hearing from you.
I'm going
to
go have a nervous collapse because of how much energy drinks I drank today. Woo!